The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently minus 2 degrees and cloudy in Montreal. I'm Olivia Pichet, and here are today's headlines. Some of Quebec's restrictions are set to be lifted as of next week. We'll bring you the story of a barbershop owner who's excited to open his doors. Farmers in India have been protesting since September. We'll bring you the latest on how the Sikh community here in Montreal is reacting. And our reporter TQ brings you his review of the latest album from the prolific Californian rapper Bones. The latest COVID-19 numbers have been released. Over 1,050 new cases were confirmed and another 37 lives lost to the virus. Close to 600 vaccinations were administered. Quebec Premier François Legault has announced new provincial COVID restrictions set to start next week. In yesterday's press conference, the Premier announced all stores, museums, and personal care salons will reopen February 8th. In orange zones, restaurant dining, gyms, and indoor sports facilities will be allowed to open. The curfew will be moved to 9:30 p.m. for those zones as well. As Chanelie Desparois reports, some business owners are excited to reopen, but nervous that opening might be short-lived.
Fernando Latelier owns the barbershop Latelier Gents on Monklin and NDG. His business has been closed since March of last year. He says he's excited for the reopening and that his team is prepared to follow safety guidelines when taking customers.
And so keeping the space, you know, as clear as possible. You know, there's no waiting rooms anymore. You walk in on appointment time. There's, nonstop cleaning, like I said, sanitizing, and it's it's masks or else, you know, and we really, really, really push it to the next level.
He says he is hopeful that this will be the last lockdown, and if all goes well, he is looking forward to the springtime where he can increase business.
I think this is probably the last one. Hopefully, the numbers have dropped drastically the last, 5-6 weeks. It'll be able to probably carry us forward going into spring, and then we start getting outside. Vaccines will start rolling in a little more plentiful, hopefully. And it could be the last lockdown. Could be.
In the meantime, he says his phone has been ringing off the hook with customers eager to book an appointment as soon as possible. Chanelie Desparois, Concordia News, Montreal.
The easing of restrictions will likely mean more people leaving their homes to go shopping, do outdoor activities, and go to work. Wearing a mask is mandatory in order to protect our healthcare workers, families, and the elderly. However, as Vanessa Ippolito reports, some are concerned that we might need to make sure these masks end up in the garbage and not on the ground.
Throwaway masks need to be changed throughout the day in any work or social environment. However, when masks are not discarded properly, they create a huge mess. There's also a concern that if the ear loops aren't cut, animals can get caught in them. Lori Yates works for Greenpeace. She says that even though disposable medical masks are a must during these times, it is still a problem for the environment and we need to be careful about how we get rid of them.
Can we all do better at making sure that they go in the garbage and that are disposed of properly? Absolutely, yes. It's likewise a challenge when it comes to just people littering on the streets. We all would prefer that people didn't do that, but we don't have mechanisms in place to ensure that everyone doesn't.
Now that stores and some activities will be reopening, if we want to avoid our masks harming the environment, is it as simple as cutting the strings off and placing it in a bin? Yates says that it's the most important time than ever for people to protect themselves properly. Even though the throwaway surgical masks are at a great risk for ending up in a landfill, they're what Health Canada suggests is the best to protect people at this time.
It's most important that our healthcare workers and that people that are most vulnerable have high access. The easiest is disposable. It is the most accessible and it's what healthcare practitioners are recommending.
Vanessa Ippolito, Concordia News, Montreal.
In other Quebec news, teachers across the province have voted for a 5-day strike mandate. They say the negotiations have been going on for way too long and they feel like nothing is happening. Lauriane Tremblay has a story.
Heidi Yetment is the president of the Quebec Provincial Association for Teachers. She says they're tired of sitting at the negotiation table.
And the strike mandate is actually a pressure tactic in order to push negotiations forward. Because right now we're really at a standstill at the tables. We've been at a standstill, I would say, since probably June of 2020.
Yatman says the key things they're looking for in the negotiations are a lighter workload, more money to support students, as well as a higher salary, since she says teachers in Quebec are the lowest paid in the country. Quebec's Minister of Education, Jean-François Roberge, addressed the issue in a press conference yesterday. He says he understands tension has been rising since the negotiations have been going on for over a year. But he says he is sure they will come to an agreement before there's a strike. Lauriane Tremblay, Concordia News, Montreal.
Farmers in India are demanding that the Indian government make amends to the bills that threaten their primary source of income. Our reporter Raina Ephraim has been speaking to Montrealers in the Sikh community about the protests that have been ongoing. Raina, can you tell us what's been happening?
Hi, Olivia. At this moment, Indian farmers are facing a crisis. Prime Minister Modi passed three bills in September that threaten the farmers' businesses across the country. These laws have especially targeted Sikh farmers as well as other marginalized communities in India. There have been protests that have been met with violence, and the outcry has begun to be addressed globally by online activists, politicians, and bigger media personalities. Climate change activist Greta Thunberg, musician Rihanna, and Canada's NDP leader Jagmeet Singh are just a few big names that have been tweeting about the protests and generating attention on this matter.
I understand you've been talking to people locally in Montreal who are concerned about this.
Yes, I spoke to Savdeep Sohi, who is a practicing Sikh here in Montreal. She has been doing online activism on Instagram and Facebook to spread the word on the ongoing protests and claims that the violence that her community is facing is inhumane.
I just feel like so heartbroken thinking of like people that are old enough to be my grandparents are facing so much injustice. They're facing police brutality. They're being trampled over, beaten with batons and like tear gas.
Like most students, Sohi has been using her online presence to bring attention to the events happening in India. She hopes that others will join her in this fight.
Thank you very much, Raina. That was our reporter, Raina Ephraim. Turning now to some arts news, the music streaming service Spotify has been granted a patent for new technology that is causing some controversy. The patent will allow the Swedish company to use recordings of their users' speech as well as background noise to recommend the music. Charles Fritzier-Gauvin is here to tell us more about it. Charles, why is this so important?
So this decision has outraged many music listeners who believe this patent to be extremely invasive. With this patent, Spotify aims to be able to examine users' speech patterns in order to determine the user's mental state, as well as analyzing the user's accent and whatever background noise is found in those audio recordings to help them recommend the user music. Considering the presence of similar technologies used by social media platforms and corporations for targeted advertising, many believe that music should remain free of these kind of technologies. Furthermore, issues around Spotify's security following hacks by stream farms who have the aim of abusing the service's payment system, as well as the proliferation of fake artists appearing on popular Spotify playlists to dilute the artist pool and give more money to Spotify, many users and artists are beginning to grow tired of this streaming system.
What alternatives would you recommend to those people?
Basically, one of the main alternatives would be Apple Music, which is undoubtedly Spotify's main competitor in the streaming market. Though this system works similarly to Spotify, Apple Music utilizes two-factor authentication at login. Two-factor authentication makes it more difficult for your accounts to be hacked. And Spotify's lack of a two-factor authentication system is often condemned by its users and is the main threat to its users' security. Another alternative, which is very, very helpful in supporting specific artists, is Bandcamp. So Bandcamp basically operates as a sort of social media platform where artists are able to post albums and singles to their respective sites. Artists use the platform to sell their music digitally and physically, as well as merchandise. And on the platform, the artist can pick the price they want to sell their stuff for. Since March, Bandcamp has been waiving its share of all sales revenue one day a month. This initiative, Bandcamp Friday, takes place on the first day of every month. Since its inception in March, fans have generated around $40 million in revenue for artists and labels around the world. Its next edition takes place this Friday, February 5th, and is set to continue through the month of May.
Thank you, Charles. That was our reporter, Charles Fritzier-Gauvin. He's been on the planet for 27 years, but he's already put out 35 albums. California-based rapper Bones shows no signs of stopping, and our intrepid music reporter TQ has the latest album review.
Bones, aka Elmo O'Connor, is a prolific underground rapper who takes great pride in never having been supported by a music label or made any music in a professional music studio. His DIY approach has been the same since he was 9 years old when he began recording music. He was originally born in Northern California until he moved to Michigan at the age of 7. He eventually returned to California to pursue a career as a hip-hop artist after dropping out of school at the age of 16. His older brother, Elliot O'Connor, supported him financially while he pursued his dream. Many of Bones' first projects were recorded in Elliot's garage. Elliot is now his manager. Bones is known for his consistent release of music, having amassed 35 projects in his discography since 2013. His aesthetic is dark, grimy, and the majority of his music videos are VHS recorded. He often expresses disdain for himself in his music as well as disgust for others in authenticity. When detailing his process, he explains that he does not overthink it. He often writes lyrics onto sticky notes and places them on his laptop and records them almost immediately. He says that he has never recorded something that he wrote a few days ago. Burden is a 14-track album that lasts approximately 27 minutes. Bones infamously records very short songs with few exceptions lasting over 2 minutes in length. As a project, it is not typical to only have two aggressive rap songs, Brimstone and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. The rest of the project sounds like a mix of a sad Post Malone and Sum 41. Although these types of songs do exist throughout Bones' discography, it is rare for them to dominate an entire project like this. The high point of the project was the track Brimstone featuring Xavier Wolf because of the aggressive delivery and high-intensity trap beat that transcends the moody instrumental Burden, which begins the project. Notable lyrics from the song's chorus are, "Flicking off the ash, I'm a figment of the past, when I pass, all I ask, to put my body in the trash," which highlights his disdain for himself that is prevalent throughout his discography. Other notable lyrics from this project appear on the song Opal, where Bones sings, "You say you love me, but you're never around. Now I know how it feels to have nothing left. I know you'd rather be lost than found. I remember every word that you ever said," which highlights his dark and sad aesthetic as well as his disgust in others' inauthenticity when they claim to love him but aren't around. My main criticism for this project is that there weren't enough aggressive dark rap songs like I have become accustomed to. It also seems like a lot of these songs could have been Surrender Dorothy songs, which is Bones' collaborative side project with Grief. Surrender Dorothy is usually sad indie folk with autotune vocals and hip-hop drums. With that being said, if Bones is truly the character he portrays, he wouldn't care if his fans are satisfied with his new release and isn't concerned with pleasing anyone.
Your news to 11:45 a.m. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Olivia Pichet.